Hi, we're sorry about the quality of today's audio podcast. The original recording had some issues, so this recording was pulled from the video, which left a lot of background noise. If you would like to watch the original video, which would probably have a better sound quality, just visit our website on Vimeo. That's http://vimeo.com. That's vimeo.com/channels/the word infusion. We hope that you will be able to enjoy the message either through this audio podcast or the video. We're sorry for the inconvenience. Thank you.
Father, thank you so much for your son here. I pray a special blessing on our visitors and returning visitors as well. I pray, Father, that you will be on this. That you will recognize your power and your presence. And Father, that you will reach your word through and you will remember that I am simply a clay pot and the vessel that you made. Father, Alicia Keys. You know, how many of you know Alicia Keys? It's on okay. All right. And she was on the Today Show earlier this week, and she wrote a song that really impacted her. It's called We Are Here, and it's a question mark. And so she has her worldview. Here look at what her worldview is compared to us as Christians, our worldview. I gave you a hint, is that of being a salt of the earth. Here's an article that was at SundayWorld.com, the website, made by Alicia, saying, "The song, a strong social commentary on the world. Let's talk about Chinatown. Let's talk about Gaza. Let's talk about Israel. Let's talk Nigeria and the mass of hysteria. Our souls are brought together so that we can love each other," Keys sings. Releasing this song on our Facebook page, Keys wrote, "Why am I here? This really hit me on a deep level. I realized no one had ever asked me that question before. The song, inspired by her desire to make a difference and create a kinder and more peaceful world for all children. Keys is using her voice to reinforce her vision of an empowered global community in which all people are heard, respected, equal, and treated with dignity. She's rallying fans and challenging them to raise their voices for the causes they believe in. Because real change begins with all of us," he said. "It's not about me, it's about we. This is our world, and we are here." So we know that the world will achieve a temporary global peace through the Antichrist, but true peace comes through Jesus. Isn't that right? We know that. So as I'm reading about these things, it's commendable. Peace, we should all look for peace. We should all look for respect and loving and caring and being compassionate for one another. And I can appreciate that and what her focus is, and yet from a public figure in the world today, I can also look at the increased focus to what she's written in her song and what others have started to implement, that of globalism, unity and globalism. We were boarding one of our planes on one of our flights back to Florida, and it global airlines. We're starting to see global everywhere, and there's even the emphasis of being more global instead of being patriotic for your own country, but being global. And so what does that tell you spiritually? How does that affect you spiritually? Do you start to click in your mind thinking, yeah, there's got to be a movement, a direction that compels hearts to be global-minded for the sake of peace. And yet we know, again, that Antichrist will come, resolve issues in Israel and other, bring peace between Israel and Egypt, and peace between Chancellor, peace with the PLO, treaty with all these type of issues that have to take place in order to bring peace in that area of the world. That affects the entire world as well. And the world is looking at global peace, love, unity. And what also resounds in my mind is that people are, in the world, and Christians too, are tired of the hatred, are tired of the conflict, are tired of the war, tired of the killings and the death, and all these types of things that are going on in the world around us. But we as Christians need to be careful to stand on the truth of God's Word and His love. You see, the world doesn't know truth. Truth is relative. Okay? The world will say this is what, this philosophy, this thinking, this is truth is relative to your situation, that type of a thing. The world doesn't know what it means to have peace. And they're striving for it. We know in eschatology and future events that the world will push toward that. The world will have that, but it will only be for a temporary moment. And only Jesus can be and is the truth. And that's not bigotry, that's the Word of God. And God stands true to His Word, always has, always will. And Jesus said that I have peace to give you that the world can't give you. That's a fact. The world will want peace, but it's not the peace that God intends. And where does peace that God intended come from? It comes from the right relationship with God. And so we can line that up and think, well, the world is concerned about what Jesus says. The world will say Jesus isn't another prophet, or a good man, or a good teacher. In Sunday school this morning, there was a question about what is the Christ consciousness? It's a new movement, and it's basically just New Age repackaged again. But there was a statement in defining this new group of focus or whatever about Christ consciousness. It says, this path is open to anyone regardless of their religious tradition if and when he or she is open to become a living vessel of love and truth on the planet and actively strives to attain it. First of all, you can't know true love without God. And that's Jesus. And secondly, we can't know truth without Jesus. And so the world is striving for this peace based upon truth and love that it's assessing for itself outside of the realm of God and His righteousness and His holiness. Bottom line is that God is holy, and what He says is right and true is absolute. And anything that's opposing to God and His Word isn't truth. And furthermore, anything opposing God's Word brings what? Destruction and even death. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. So if the world is looking toward global peace, which prophetically we know it will be, and it's pushing for the acceptance of all people, we should love all people, we should have compassion, we should care, we should be that loving, compassionate, not in the compromise of standing on the truth of God's Word. You see, because that's where our hope is in Jesus, and Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. And so if we choose to stand on the truth of Christ, and I don't know if you're echoing in your mind or demonic activity whispers things in our head that says, oh yeah, this is kind of closed-minded bigotry type of a statement. That, it's only through Jesus, only His way. But what did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. So anything outside of Christ, He's God in the flesh telling us. He's our creator of heaven and earth and all that we are and all that He created us. And He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father through Him, except through Him. Got that, right? John 14:6. And if He's anything opposing that is a counterfeit, and it can only bring destruction. Because we know that what the world
yells, peace, peace, and we have peace, and they're all excited to celebrate that global peace now. That, it says, scripture says, it's the vain pains of my labor pains. And that the trauma will soon come. So it's only for a short moment, and it's not a die. And so, as I'm explaining this to you, and you're listening to me, are you thinking in terms of spiritual perception? Are you thinking about, well, what's happening in our world, what's being promoted, and what does God call us to do as believers in Christ? And so I want us to look at the importance of keeping our eyes spiritual, our spiritual eyes, ears, and heart vibrant. Lest it become blind, deaf, and hard. I know that's a hard transition to what I said, but really what I'm trying to say is think about what's going on in the world, global focus, how the world wants to attain peace, and how real peace comes through Christ. That's a spiritual understanding. That's a spiritual insight. That's where we step back and we stand the truth of God's Word and we let the Holy Spirit reveal to us, look, you know, see what's going on and be aware and be spiritually attuned or keen or attentive to the things that are going on around. Because if we don't, if we're not spiritually healthy, if we're not walking with Christ, if we're not listening to His Word, we're not applying His Word, then our spiritual eyes and ears and heart will become spiritually blind, deaf, and hard. Having said that, I want to look at an example of that in Isaiah 29:9-14. This is one of the things that happened in Israel, and Scripture was given for us, wasn't it? I mean, we have the history of some of the things that went on with Israel in the Scripture. Does that mean that's only for a Jew to read? Is that only for the Israelites? Does that not apply? Does it all given to us for instruction? And if you will, as a statement of admonition, as a caution, as a be aware, as a red flag. And so I want you to be thinking as we go through this message this morning about how aware are you spiritually? How well do you see with spiritual eyes? How well do you hear the Spirit of God? How well is your heart, or how tender is your heart spiritually for God? Isaiah 29:9-14 says, pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. I got to thinking about that verse, and I'm going, gee, you know, blind yourselves and be blind. It's that statement itself. God's leading Isaiah to say, look, okay, you don't want to hear truth, you don't want to hear the Word of God, you don't want to be right with God, you just want to God, and you want to go your own way, then okay, be blind. And he was talking to Israel, right? But then I got to thinking, you know, what's it mean to be drunk without wine? And it means that, you know, I can think of, well, what's drunk look like? Well, it's kind of out of control, trying to figure out its way, maybe, or whatever. You see, that's how the world can become. If you're not going to adhere to the truth, then the world will become just not cognitive of the things that are right, but incognitive of those things, if that makes sense. And even still, static, not taking firm steps, but if another phrase would be, you know, stabbing in the dark, reaching for whatever they can to have peace. So pause and wonder, bind yourselves to be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. The Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. See, when we close our ears, close our eyes, and harden our hearts to the truth of what God says, the result is, as God's people, see, Israel is God's people, chosen people, and you and I are the bride of Christ. We're His children through faith in Christ. And in that, if we close our spiritual eyes, or His spiritual ears, or His part of our spiritual heart, and we're not paying attention to what God has to say, even this morning, or in our daily walk, whatever the case, the caution here is that He can pour a deep sleep on us, where our spiritual alertness becomes dull.
So the Lord has poured out on you the Spirit in deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. Then he has covered your heads, namely the seers. A whole vision has come to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am not literate. Therefore the Lord said, it is precious these people draw near with their mouths, and honor me with their lips, but having moved their hearts far from me, their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hidden. So as I'm looking at that, assessing that from a spiritual perspective, I'm seeing the world reject the truth, and what's wise are being made fools. You know what Scripture says? And what about the Christian churches? Those that embrace the philosophies of the world and not the truth of God's Word for the sake of being kind. Not that being kind is wrong, we are all kind. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But how we are kind is a question. So when mainstream churches adopt things that are contrary to the Word of God, then they become blind. Their leadership has become blind. Why? Because they refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Refuse to be tender-hearted to the truth of God's Word. Refuse to see what is right and what isn't right. And not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. That's what Scripture says. And all of us should be doing it. So when we see, when you read about mainstream churches today that are pulled out, and they said, you know, we're not supposed to support Israel anymore. What God tells us in Genesis 12:3, I think, that we're supposed to. And if we're honoring the homosexual lifestyle, we know Scripture says all about that. And we're honoring certain things, all these things that are against Scripture, that just tells me that the church and mainstream churches are just, if they're not careful to be attuned to God, they adopt what the world said or what their own heart wants, and they become dull in spirit, dull in understanding, dull in sight, and the churches are watered down. Why? Because God's people have taken the responsibility to listen, or to see, or to have that inner key that take apart with God. Therefore, behold, I will begin to do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work to wonder, to the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and understanding of the prudent men shall be hidden. You won't see the wise men. You won't see prudent men. It will be hidden. Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 said, and he said, go and tell his people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. I can hear the sarcasm of God speaking through Isaiah. Isaiah, you go tell the people of Israel. You go ahead and tell the people. Keep on hearing and not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. He's kind of putting it in their face. You just keep on hearing and don't understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull. That's what happens. If we're not serious about keeping our ears tuned to God, our eyes focused on Him, our hearts tender for Him, then what's the danger? Of dull. That's where you hear people say, church is just an organization. Church is just a club. Instead of how God. Make the heart of this people dull, their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, at least they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Deuteronomy 29, verses 2 through 4 says, now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear to this very day. Every wonder
in the passage of Scripture where it says, when Paul is talking about, that you're just babes that want milk. I can only feed you milk because you're not ready for the meat. Why is that? Because they're not willing to hear what God has said. So God continues to repeat, repeat, repeat. The fundamentals, one-on-one Christianity. Saved by grace through faith, the resurrection, eternal life, basic principles of Christian faith. Over, 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 and over again. But not really getting into the meat. Why? Because they're not hearing. They're not listening. They're not perceiving. They're not seeing with spiritual eyes, and their eyes are not being as receptive as God called them to be. The Lord is not giving you a heart to perceive, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the spirit to hear. Why is that again? Because people choose not to hear. Choose not to see. Choose not to see. Why am I going all over this? Am I saying this as a rebuttal to our church of God? I'm saying as an admonition. This is what was written to the Israelites, and that we as believers need to remember that keep our eyes and our ears and our heart sensitive to God and attuned to spiritual truth. So we're not deceived by the world, not deceived by philosophy, not deceived by whatever Satan wants to throw in our face and convince us that that way is better than God's way. Mark 4:1-9 says, and again, and I'll read this, I want to ask you this as a test, so to speak, kind of like a little quiz. As we read through this passage of Scripture, ask yourself what you see spiritually. Because I'm not going to explain it, I'm not going to get into it. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So they got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, now listen. I said, now listen. The verse 3 says, listen. There's an important word there, because we've been talking about hearing with ears. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Are you using your spiritual ears here? Are you reading with spiritual eyes here? But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. What are you getting from that? And some seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has what, ears to hear, let him hear. The first thing that he says, verse 3, listen. He tells you something that has a spiritual depth and insight to it. And the last thing he says, now hear. Not with your physical ear, but with your spiritual ear. So many times, I've read that passage, I've heard that passage, I'm familiar with that passage, but do you understand what the spiritual implication of that passage means? That's why we can have people that will be in church for X amount of years and never grow because they learn with the physical and they don't hear and learn with the spiritual. Because the heart is not willing to be yielded to what God has for them to learn. So you and I as Christians, we need to be careful that we are guarding our heart, our ears, and our eyes to be spiritually tuned to God. In your insert, you might want to write in and fill in the blanks if you're doing that. So spiritual insight is maintained when an individual desires to know the will of true God. If you and I want to grow in the Lord, we have to desire that. If we want to desire that, then we desire to yield to what God says. Sometimes what God says to us cuts to the soul. Other times what God says to us just elates us and we're full of joy. But we need to be willing to let the Master do His workmanship in our life. And He will do that if we're His anyways. But we either yield to Him, to follow Him, or we turn deaf ears towards Him. The second thing I want us to look at is, what is the benefit of having healthy spiritual eyes in your heart? Because this passage of Scripture you know very well too. But as I was, you're figuring out as we get there, what the point of the class. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. Talk about salt today. Preserving, brings thirst, brings hydration, if you will, preserves food, so many different things, right? Then you brings flavor to things. What's the spiritual implication there? What are you and I being salt? What are we supposed to be doing? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. It is then good for nothing. Now wait a minute. If the salt is you and me, and it loses its seasoning, God says it is good for nothing. There's a physical truth to that. Salt loses its whatever it has to be effective. But the spiritual implication, the spiritual insight here, is that if you and I become spiritually dull, uninterested, not seeking after God, not living for God, not following God, not loving God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength, not giving ourselves to God as that living sacrifice that God wants us to be, then the threat is that we who are called to be salt, and in fact who are salt, God has used us and made us salt to preserve what? Truth. What truth? His truth. Which is His Word. Preserve the truth of God's Word. Right? You're called to be that salt, to make it flavorful, that they see the life and character of Christ in their life, to make it compelling. But if for some reason it loses its seasoning, loses its ability to do that, it's worth nothing. What is God saying to you and I in that? Spiritually. He said, look, if we are not willing to be the people that God calls to be as we yield ourselves to Him, then the result will be that we will be ineffective for His kingdom work. Now, you have to ask the question, I have to ask the question, as a believer in Christ, as a child of God, do I and do you, do we, as individuals before God, want, desire to be vessels that are effective for God's kingdom work that brings glory to God? And if you say no, you ought to ask the question, why not? Because if you say no, it means that you've bought into a lie that the world's presented as opposed to the truth that God has called us to. Somehow we've been deceived and drawn away from being or wanting to be what God has called us to be if we choose not to be that vessel that God's given us. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp put in another basket on a lampstand. They give light to all who are in the house. God intends for us to be gathered together like a city that's on a hill. You know, isn't that neat when you come down off the hill at night and you clean and you see all the lights and clean? I love that, coming off the hill and running in and seeing that. Then you can relate that to any type of city at night, probably. But God wants us to come together shining as a collective body of believers, as a city on the hill being a light. And then He goes on and He says, look, you might light a torch, but who in the world that day for lighting in a house, light a torch, put it up in its holder on the wall, and then cover it with a bushel? That's like us going around the house, turn on all the lights, and go back and cover them all up with bedspreads and stuff so the light won't shine. That's stupid. Part of the word. But the reality is that God intends for us to be that light and to be that salt. And if we're not willing to be that, then the danger is that we become dull. Spiritually dull. Spiritually blind. Spiritually deaf. Spiritually hardened. And so, choice is ours. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
you're inserting, you're filling these little words in your life to keep from being useless for God's kingdom work. Keep your eyes, ears, and heart in the kingdom of God. I read that passage about salt becoming, you know, not seasoned anymore, of no value, to be cast out. And it says that it should be trodden under by the feet of men. Right? Another passage. That the salt was thrown out and trodden. So what happens is, if we don't yield to the truth of God, we're not sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our life, we're not following God as He intends for us to do, then we become ineffective in bearing the light, bearing the truth, being that vessel. And we're trampled, not physically, but literally, by the philosophy and the principles of the world. That's why so many Christians are what we call carnal Christians, because they choose to live as the world directs them instead of the way God directs them. Or more specifically, as their flesh desires rather than what God's Spirit desires. And we all fall in that category. It's a wrestling match. We all fall into that. Now, spiritual awareness is essential to bear witness to the truth of Christ. Would you agree that the light of the truth of Christ is essential in the world that we live in today? That we need to bear His light, project His light, the world needs to see the light of Christ, which means what spiritually? The truth of Christ, the gospel message, the truth of His word. Do we agree that that's important to be presented in the world of darkness? And why? Because truth leads to freedom. The truth shall set you free. Free from what? Power of sin. And what does sin do? Sin brings destruction and death. What does life in Christ do? It brings life. They glorify Him. I mean, that's a strong contrast. We follow God, we find that He is to live in the power of the resurrection life of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, and on a regular basis, in our closeness with Christ becomes more and more and more and more intense as we follow Him. So spiritual awareness is essential to bear witness to the truth of Christ, John 18:33-38. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews? Come there with me." We're going to re-answer the statement. Spiritual awareness and essential to bear witness to the truth of Christ. Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" I love the fact that he's wondering where the conviction in my mind of Pilate's heart is. Really? Or, and he says, "Are you asking? Or are you just asking because it's presented to you?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" What he's saying is that I'm not asking, your people are asking. Is you the king? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." We need to remember that we're part of God's kingdom, we're God's children. And God's kingdom is not of this world. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am the king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world." He's going to say, what cause? "That I should bear witness to the truth." If I were to ask you, why did Jesus come? There would probably be a list of answers. To save souls. To redeem mankind. And just keep adding the list. But here's the bottom line reason why Jesus came: to bear witness to the truth. Why? Because the truth is set you free. The truth of God. Not what the men declare as truth, but what God gives us truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So if you're a believer here today, you, as well as myself, know and hear the voice of God. God talks to us. The question is, spiritually, do we listen? And the caution is, if we don't listen, then we can become dull. Go ahead and hear without understanding. Go ahead and see and not perceive. But he told Isaiah to tell the Israelites. That's a caution. Whenever I was looking at this message, working on this message, praying on this message, the emphasis is I've always heard about the song losing its flavor and then their seizing or effectiveness, and we were nothing being passed out. But I've never heard what it meant. I'm not the only one in the room that's out of the loop on this, but I never have heard, okay, well, what are the dangers? How do you get to being not Paul and Saul? How do you get to that place where you're passed out, not useless and not saved? And that's why I thought God led me to this. That we caution against becoming dull. And we all wrestle with that. Because there are times where whenever we wrestle with sin, we're wrestling with truth. Sin isn't truth. The truth is what God has told us to do. And we wrestle with it. The danger is that when we yield to sin, the more we're prone to become dull. Look what Pilate said, verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" That's the world for him. All relevant, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in your law." See, you and I, as believers, are called to uphold and present the truth following Jesus' example. Why did Jesus come? To bear witness of the truth. And we're part of the body of Christ. And we are called to be salt and light. Therefore, we're called to uphold and support the truth that Jesus came to present. And we have it right here in His Word. Are you reading your Bibles beyond Sunday? Are you reading God's Word on a regular basis? Listen, God wants to reveal Himself to you through His Word and that Spirit, fellowship of believers, and the teaching and the preaching of the Word. God wants to reveal that to you. He revealed Himself to you. But we must be willing to have ears that are spiritually attuned, eyes that are spiritually attuned, a heart that is sensitive to God. In your insert, last good part is, be courageous and defend Jesus and the truth of the Word. Be courageous and defend Jesus and the truth of the Word. That's why we get there. The world says, we're here on earth to love each other, that's fine. To have peace with each other, that's fine. To come together and to know what real love and truth is, they can't tell. Outside of God. But you and I, as believers, are called to be the bearers of judgment, Jesus, and of Jesus. That we really know the peace of love of God. Father, I pray that you will carry this message deeper into our hearts and have it echo in our spirits. Open our eyes to the world around us and help us to see how the world is progressively moving forward in a direction that gives false hope as they try to fix the problems of the world outside of our world. We are your God. So Father, use us and help us surrender to you so we can live the life and song of the world. Yes,
thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion at
mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.